I want to introduce you to someone who's recently worked with more than 60 First Nations women to showcase what it takes to keep knowledge alive. Her name's Carmen Glyn Braun, and she's our next guest in Away's NAIDOC series. Over the past month, we've been celebrating this year's NAIDOC theme, 50 Years of Deadly, by speaking with mob who aren't just thinking about today. They're looking to the future as well. People like choreographer Thomas E. Kelly, poet Evelyn Araluen, and director Ian Michael. Carmen is a proud Kadich, Unmaracha and Aranda woman, and comes from a long line of strong desert women. She's also co-founder of the Indigenous art group, the Rewrite Collective, alongside fellow Indigenous artist Dennis Golding. This year, Carmen was commissioned by the Fondation Cartier to create major artwork for the Biennale of Sydney. It's called To Hold the Line of Wara and embodies safe spaces created by Black matriarchs by marrying hundreds of carefully selected ceramic pieces with video and animation. Carmen joined Away's Ruby Ritchie to discuss the scale of her work and how spaces for Indigenous artists have expanded.
We're now seeing the flourishing of what seeds were planted 50 years ago by our generations before us, not just with elders but creative practitioners that have led the way for us. We can benefit and create from that space of what was paper for us.
Is there a particular work for you in your kind of portfolio that stands out that would resonate with the idea of legacy?
This recent work that I did for the Biennale of Sydney, which is currently showing at White Bay Power Station, it's called To Hold the Line of Wara. Wara means fire in my grandmother's native dialect, which is Kadich. Kadich is a dialect that's in danger. It was really important to me that my maternal grandmother's side was her legacy, or my matriarch's legacy, and somehow was honoured, and the ongoing practice of storytelling within our family was somehow recorded and shown in the direct respect to my matriarchs. The work itself is a 16-metre ceramic installation with over 1,000 ceramic pieces spanned across 16 metres. So to make the work, we gathered 60 different women across 30 different language groups and brought them into circle. And all of them made motifs of memory in ceramic form to honour their own matriarchs. And seeing that en masse and something like an international biennale, I think, creates a legacy for not just myself, but for so many different Indigenous families that were directly involved. And, you know, these are women that are from right across Australia, not just my own homeland, but I think creating safe space where people can freely, without filtering or having any say on how they tell their stories, is really important practice in Indigenous storytelling, because having the ability to just make without any type of influence of other people's viewpoints is really makes for truth-telling that's not widely experienced in other parts of Australian art. To be able to come into a space like that and feel 60 different families' energies and stories is, I don't think, something that can be replicated. And I think it's really interesting going into spaces like a biennale and just watching audience responses and how they take on those stories. It's very interesting watching people have an emotional response to something that you've created or that these women have created. And I think creating legacy where, or creating safe space where women can honour their own family legacies in their own way is really important for all creative practitioners to offer community. It doesn't, these sort of spaces don't just belong to artists or people who, I think grassroots storytelling is really important part of who we are.
What were some conversations you wish you could have had at the start of your career with your earlier self?
With my earlier self, it would have been good to have, I think, both the emotional understanding and giving myself permission of self-care within the industry, first of all, making sure that you're both safe and that the people that you're working with are safe. I think as well is giving ourselves permission within the Indigenous community of creatives is not just to talk about trauma. We often talk about, you know, transgenerational trauma and what that looks like, and we know that that's very real. But I think giving ourselves permission to equally celebrate transgenerational resilience, you know, it's equally as prevalent within our communities. And I think that for myself, I would have liked to create honouring both of those equally. And, you know, it's really important to me now whenever I'm making that community members, when they come into all of my projects or any of the institutions that I'm working with, that they're safe, that they feel like their stories are being honoured with the utmost integrity, that they have control of their own stories and how that's being presented, but also that they're not coming into spaces being re-traumatised, and that they walk away feeling seen but celebrated, and they feel hopeful in whatever they're doing, and capable and inspired and, you know, feeling good about who they are and how they're showing up in this world.
Are there any figures within Indigenous art spaces, whether that be in visual arts or in other mediums in the past 50 years, that you feel like have shaped your artistry and direction?
Yeah, I mean, there's many, there's so many. And, you know, like a lot of my immediate idols, or I guess like creative matriarchs, are, you know, family, of course, or direct cultural practitioners that have been, like, that have literally been raised around. If I was to name a few, I would have to say definitely Emily Nwaye. You know, she's a fellow Madira woman. But what I most admired about her is not just her art form itself, but I think I really loved the way how sovereign she was within herself. You know, she became an international superstar and quite frankly didn't give a shit about that. Her values were in her own community and how she upheld the women in her community around her. And I find that a lot of desert women are much the same, you know, like, and, you know, one of my other idols, obviously, are my mother and my grandmother. My grandmother started a media association called Karma and a TV channel called Impaja. And, you know, by proxy, my mother made documentaries through Karma as well. So watching them create new methods that desert people had never seen to safeguard our stories and how the community responded to that and uphold themselves with the integrity that I value as a Black woman, I think watching people create where community is put first and watching them create where there's complete trust from the community has definitely shaped the way that I want to create. And because there were such new methods of creating at that time, it's definitely influenced my openness to how I uphold Black storytelling. So when I make decisions about how I'm going to practice as an artist, I feel like I'm completely open. And, you know, the way that I execute conceptual ideas is with community first, how I'm honouring my own family's stories and the integrity attached to it, but also how audience walk away and how they feel.
What are some of the kind of biggest challenges that Black artists have faced historically, and do you think maybe there are new challenges that we might encounter in the future?
Yeah, I mean, obvious one would be the racism and, you know, like institutional racism. And now we're on a point where online, you know, cultural safety online is almost impossible. I think one of the biggest problems at the moment and will likely be hugely impactful is AI. Trying to create safety around Indigenous IP right now is alarming.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a new thing for us that how that sort of translates even in the next 5 years is going to be very, very an interesting time in history where things will start to blend and wider Australia's understanding of certain symbolism or I guess in the correct connections is just going to start to mix to a point where trying to connect what goes where is going to become very difficult over the next few generations. Also, what people have available to them, like how do we manage that in terms of what we safeguard for ourselves and our own communities? You know, I think we've done a really good job in that in the past of having cultural permission, especially over the last two decades, about what can be used where. Whereas if you can ask, you know, something like ChatGPT to design an entire ceremonial scene based off things that are already on the internet, we're in a really dangerous place of being able to culturally manage that.
Mm-hmm.
The public access to these things that rightfully should not be there, how we police that as First Nations people we're at a very critical time right now where we have to try our best to intervene. What that might look like is obviously totally unknown, but I think it's exceptionally dangerous.
So we know what the past 50 years of Deadly have looked like for Indigenous creatives. What do you want the future to look like for Black artists 50 years from now?
I feel like I'm going to touch again on the fact that I want people to celebrate transgenerational resilience more. I feel like joy and humour and all these things that are a significant part of contemporary Indigenous Australia should be the norm. You know, I want the next generation to freely be able to explore that, and that trauma and all these experiences is part of that, not the mass of the stories. I would also definitely like to see, obviously, more Indigenous people in leadership roles, creating our own type of institutions and, you know, reclamation of all kinds of cultural practices in both the contemporary sense and reclamation of traditional storytelling, whatever that may look like. I want to see Black pop stars, I want to see Black movie stars, I want to see the normalisation of First Nations storytelling. I don't think that in our country that we should be considered some sort of minority. We need to be the majority. The First Nations should be the future. It should have been this entire time. We shouldn't be trying or fighting to create space. It should already be there. We should be taking up space all the time. And that should be a social norm for the whole of Australia. I would like to see, I guess, First Nations people normalised as well. And, you know, a lot of the creative spaces in Australia, or so-called Australia, are heavily reliant on black storytelling. So the film industry, blackfellas are leading it. Art industry, blackfellas are leading it. We're leading. So why is our stories monitored and exotified? This is our space. This is, you know, our home. This is the true stories of Australia, or what we now know as Australia. When I say that I want Indigenous existence normalised, I'm not saying that in a sense to make it feel any less special. I'm saying that we are Australia. We are what the substance of this country is.
That was Carmen Glyn Braun speaking with Away's Ruby Ritchie. It marks the final chapter of Away's special series celebrating this year's NAIDOC theme, 50 Years of Deadly. You can find the full series on ABC Listen.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.